Morning, everyone. Today's daf in the Nedarim is Chaf Gimel. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lona Zech Nishmas Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. Okay, yesterday's Gemara's conclusions is that you create a Pesach using Charato. The controversy in the Gemara that we had yesterday, and in terms of releasing somebody from a neder, person is now locked into a neder and he wants to get released, he goes to Talmid Chacham. So one of two things can happen. Either the Talmid Chacham can find a Pesach. A Pesach is literally an exit, or an entrance, in this case an exit, where you have to go sit down together with the neder, the person who made the neder, and you have to say to him, did you consider the following? Ramifications of what would result from your neder, and you sit there and you work out different ramifications that he perhaps did not consider. If he considered it, so then it doesn't serve as a Pesach, but if he didn't consider it, so then it would serve as a Pesach and he would be released from his neder. That's one form of releasing somebody from a neder. And the second one is a charata. Charata means that at the time when he made the neder, he wasn't of sound mind. He regretted. Not regrets now. Obviously, he regrets it now. Otherwise, he wouldn't be going to a Talmid Chacham. But regretting means he regrets at the time they made the neder. He's making the argument that at the time when they made the neder, I knew that what I was doing was wrong. But I was irrational, I was emotional, I was angry. Gemara spent some time going over the ills of anger, and one of them is that you make a neder and you know that what you're doing is wrong, but you do it anyway. So the Gemara says that that's poschim b'charata. Was a controversy in the Gemara yesterday whether you can release somebody from a neder using charata. The Gemara's conclusion in the name of Rav Nachman is that you could, that you're allowed to. Another issue that the Gemara dealt with yesterday and concluded is, what about a Shavua? A person makes a Shavua. Now we know that a Pesach works for a Shavua as well. But can you release somebody from a Shavua? And the issue is that a Shavua is just more serious. It's more severe than the Neder. So we talked already in the past by Shavua, the Torah says, Lo Yinakeh, that you never really get fully expunged from making a Shavua. So maybe there's a Havamina that maybe you shouldn't release somebody from a Shavua. But the Gemara's conclusion yesterday was, no, that you do as well. Okay, I quoted the Ron at the end of yesterday's daf. The Ron quoted the Gaonim. The Gaonim said that wouldn't be so quick to release somebody from a Shavua, but the Gemara's conclusion and the Ron's conclusion is that you should do so. Okay. Adkan, that takes us just as a quick recap of yesterday's daf. We are now going over a couple stories as we are now in the bottom of Chav Beis Amud Beis, last two lines of the Amud. A couple of stories where we basically are looking for psachim. We're looking for different exit strategies from a neder. If you remember yesterday, we had a story with Rav Schora. Rav Schora was brought to Rav Nachman, and Rav Schora's first introduction to Rav Nachman in his life. And Rav Schora had a neder that he needed to get out of. And so Rav Nachman asked him, did you consider this? Did you consider this? Did you consider this? And Rav Schora said, yeah, I considered everything. And he made Rav Nachman angry. And then it occurred to Rav Schora, there's a mission in Pirkei Avos that says that when you behave, you got to behave that's A, pleasing in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and B, pleasing in the eyes of other people. And clearly I upset Rav Nachman. I didn't consider the fact that had I made my neder, this would have been so irritating and so agitating to Rav Nachman. I wouldn't have made my neder if I would have considered that. To which the Gemara says, that's a Pesach, that's a legitimate Pesach. And with that, he was able to extract himself from that neder.
Correct.
It was a fortuitous. It was a fortuitous encounter between the two. We are now towards the bottom of the Amud, two lines on the bottom. We are going to encounter a very similar story. Rabbi Shimon Barabbi. So Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rabbi Havalei Nidra Lamishrei. So he also had a neder that he needed to be released from Masala Kamayu de Rabbanan. So he goes to the Talmid Chacham and Marmalei Nadarta Adaita Dahachi. And once again, we're going to go through the same exchange. So they say to him, did you consider the following? Amr in. He said, yeah, I considered that. Adaita Dahachi, did you consider this? I'm in. And his response was, yes, I consider that as well. And Kama Zimnin. And this just kept repeating itself again and again. And the Chacham were pacing. They were going from the sun to the shade, from the shade back to the sun. Right? An expression we've had a couple times throughout Shas. It basically means that, during the hot time of the day, they were in the shade. During the cool time of the day, they went out into the sun. But basically, it's an idea that they were just pacing the whole day, trying to figure out a way to extract this person from his neder. And it made him uncomfortable. uncomfortable, made the chachamim uncomfortable. So skip the parentheses. Amar lei bitnis bereda abashal ben bitnis mina darta adaita de mitzari rabbanan bitula shimsha mishimsha latula. Did you make a neder and consider the fact that the chacham would be so agitated and so irritated and in trying to extract you from your neder? So Amar lo, so he says, no, I didn't consider that. Vishayuha, and the Gemara says, and with that, they released him from his neder. Now, just one thing to consider over here as I go through a very short run together with you, and that is the following. Pesach only works where it's a consideration that you should have thought of at the time when you made the neder. Meaning, if there is something that materializes later on that really was not foreseeable at all, so that's called what's called a nolad. And as the Gemara is about to quote, but it's just important for us to keep in mind, in Poskim Manolad, you can't create a Pesach with something which was totally unforeseeable. So these Pesachim that we just learned, this story and the previous story, where basically the Chachamim were irritated, that had to have been foreseeable at the time when you made the Neder. If it's something which really you never would have imagined, never would have thought would have happened, and it happened, so that's what's called the Nolad. You can't create a Pesach with a Nolad. Why not? It's very simple. Because what is a Pesach? The idea behind a Pesach is that the idea that goes behind a Pesach is that it retroactively uproots your neder going back to the time that you made it. Meaning at the time that you made it, you should have considered X, Y, and Z. But if it's something that you could not have considered, so then that simply doesn't serve as a Pesach. So just as an important thing that to keep in mind as we go through all these stories, the Pesach is only good if it's a foreseeable event. So the agitation of the Chachamim, the previous story, the agitation of Rav Nachman, this story, the agitation of the Chachamim, that's something which we have to conclude is foreseeable. Let's see.
They can never get out of it?
Huh? If it's not foreseeable, so then that can't be used as a Pesach.
How could it be foreseeable? Uh-huh. Yeah. Rav Nachman, how would he know that Rav Nachman would be agitated?
Correct. That's good. That's what I'm trying to become. That's what I'm trying to make you sensitive to. In other words, you have to conclude that it's not a nolad, and then it's just a question of explaining. Maybe if it weren't Rav Nachman, it would be somebody else. Maybe that's the idea. In other words, if you would have presented this issue to somebody, and maybe not Rav Nachman per se, but just the idea that it would agitate people. Maybe something along those lines.
Did it foresee it or did not foresee it?
You have to argue that it's foreseeable, because if it's not foreseeable, then it can't serve as a Pesach. Here, let's go through an example which is an Olad. So maybe this will help, which is the very next story. Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yosi havalei nidra lemishrei. Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yosi had a neder which he also needed to be extracted from. Truly amazing, by the way, if we could just pause and comment, seeing all these Talmidei Chachamim who, in other words, one of the themes of the Masechta is that you shouldn't be making a neder. Yeah. And meanwhile, we find not just anybody, but great, great Tanaim and Amoraim are in the middle of a neder. So Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yosi havalei nidra lemishrei asal kamay de rabbanan. So he goes to the Chachamim, amarlei nedarte adaita dahachi. So you know how this is going to work. That you're going to say to him, "Did you consider this?" Now he's a very smart guy. Amar lo hu in. He says yes. Nedata adaita dahachi. Amar lo hu in. And kama zimnin. And this happens a number of times. Now okay, a question of what the girsa is. Some take the parentheses that we skipped at the top of the page and insert it right now into the Gemara. Okay. Either way, it's not going to change the basic point. Meaning, so again, this Tana, let's identify him, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi. So he made a neder. He's trying to get extracted from a neder. He went to a Chacham. The Chacham went through the different considerations that he should have considered. He admits that he considered everything. Now, there was a launderer who was there. It was kind of like a bystander. He was watching all this occur. And the launderer was he himself was bothered. Not because he was asked the question of whether he could find a Pesach, but he saw that the Chachamim were really struggling to try to find this person a a release. So what does he do? Machia ba'uchla dekatre. So he took his, now it's some tool of laundering, right? I have over here written down, it's like a sprinkler. I'm not even sure what that means. It doesn't matter. I mean, it matters, but I'm saying it doesn't, to get to the point of the Gemara. So basically, what the launderer did, he was a bystander, he was just watching, so he took out one of his tools of laundering, and he hit Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi with that object. So ba'uchla dekatre. So, good. Here we are now in the story where Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi is trying desperately to get released. The Chachamim are looking for a Pesach and unsuccessful in doing so. A bystander launderer now comes along and sees how bothered the Chachamim are, so he uses this opportunity as a great opportunity to hit Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi. Good. Strange story? Yes. So Amar Adaita Demachle Katzra. I'm sorry. So Amar Adaita Demachle Katzra Lonadre. Vishari Lanafshe. So he said, wow. Had I known that this would be the result of my neder, I never would have made the neder. So to which the Gemara says, Amale Rav Achim Ediftal Ravina, Hai Nolad Hu. No, you can't use this as your Pesach. Getting hit with a launderer's instrument and declaring that to be a foreseeable result of your neder, you can't do that. That's called nolad. It never entered your mind at the time when you made the neder. You know what's going to result from all this is I'm going to be hit by a launderer. Vitanina in poskan la benolad, and we're going to see this is coming up later in the Masechta, but it's one of the rules of making a Pesach, and that is you can't make a Pesach with a nolad, which is something which is just simply unforeseeable. So Amar Leh, so here now comes a counter argument. Amar Leh Hailav Nolad Hu. No, I don't think this is Nolad. I think this was foreseeable. How so? Dishkichi Ifkuri de Matsari Rabbanan. Because it's very often that Ifkuri comes from the same word as Apikoris. Now here we're describing the launderer as an Apikoris. Apikoris over here just simply means somebody who does not like Talmid Chachamim. Okay, you can see the Rambam. The Rambam goes through all the definitions. That's in Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam goes through all the definitions of what's an Apikoris, what's a Min. But anyway, in the context of this Gemara, it just simply means someone who does not like Talmid Chachamim. So, he says, over here, what happened? I got hit over the head by a launderer because of my neder. He's an Afkure. He's somebody who does not like Talmid Chachamim. Mitzari Rabbani, he bothers the Chachamim all the time. Meaning, all I needed to do was just give him a little bit of incentive, a little bit of fodder, and he would have hit me. It's foreseeable. Okay, now on this issue, I'm not clear whether the Gemara is concluding that it is or it isn't a nolad. The Gemara is just simply arguing both sides of it. But just again, the idea that we saw in the Gemara is that you can't create a Pesach with a nolad. And then the tricky part is always going to be: is this a nolad? Is this not a nolad? Is it or is it not foreseeable? Next,
if you're not able to do that, then that means that nobody's in control, because they shouldn't do that just because they're not in control of the future situation. What's going to happen?
I understand, and so that's right. That's again, that's correct. Meaning, you get into a very nebulous area of arguing whether something is or is not foreseeable. I mean, that right? Correct.
Oh, is that unforeseeable thing can happen?
Agreed. Devasar da Abaye Havaleahu Bart. So Gemara tells another story. The story goes where the daughter of Abaye, the wife of Abaye had a daughter. Okay, so the way the story presents itself, it sounds like this is not Abaye's daughter, it's his stepdaughter. Okay, but either way, Abaye has a wife, the wife has a daughter, and who amar lekravai he? I'm sorry, who amar lekravai? And he amar lekrava. And now it's just a question of making a shidduch for this daughter, and an argument ensues between Abaye and his wife. So he says to his wife, you know, let her marry a member of my family. Now, obviously, when he says a member of my family, he obviously does not mean an immediate member of my family, because okay, although if it's a stepdaughter, it makes it a little bit better in terms of which candidates are eligible. But basically, somebody on my side of the family. She should marry somebody on my side of the family. Now she says, nah, she should marry somebody. Obviously somebody who's not an Erva, but somebody on my side of the family. So Amr La Titsari Hanasi Alech Iavarta Daite. Okay. Uminsav Allah Lekrevach. So Abai says to his wife, look, let's get real. I wanted to marry a member of my family, and I'm going to prohibit Hana from me to you if you go against my words. Okay, so Abai was very set on the idea, was very firm on the idea that the daughter, his stepdaughter should marry somebody from his family, and is now ready to put a neder in place against his wife if she disobeys him. Azav Arvalt al Date. Okay, and the story continues, and she disobeys him. Vinsevala Kreva, and marries off the daughter to her daughter to a member of her family, not to a member of Abai's family. Okay, so now she violated him. That was the tanai. That was the condition. Neder is now enforced. And now Abai is the one who made the neder. So now Abai is looking for a release from this neder. Also, come to Rav Yosef. Amar le ilo hava yadata avarta daitech uminsevala lekreva mi adarta. So Rav Yosef says to Abaye, let me ask you a question. Did you think she was going to disobey you? And if you thought that she was going to disobey you, would you have made the neder? Amar lo. So Abaye says, of course not. Meaning, I didn't think she was going to disobey my neder. So, no. I would not have made the neder had I considered the possibility that she disobeyed me. So Vishayu Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, perfect. That's a Pesach. And Rav Yosef released him on the base of that. Okay. Let's read on, and then we'll make a couple of comments. The Gemara says, really? Really? That works? Meaning, the idea that I didn't think they would disobey, and if I would have considered that, I wouldn't have made the neder. That's a Pesach. The Gemara says, really? The Gemara says, in... Gemara says, yes, that actually works. V'atayin, the Gemara quotes a braisa. Maisa ba'adamechad shidirsh isha melalos regel. So there was an incident with a person who made a neder against his wife from making aliyah l'regel. Now we'll get to in just a moment whether we're talking about aliyah l'regel during the time of the Beis HaMikdash or maybe aliyah l'regel after the time, after Churban Beis HaMikdash, either way. In other words, for the time being, let's just call it aliyah l'regel. So the husband was going to go, his wife wanted to go with him, and he said, no, don't go. You stay home. And va'avra al dato. I'm sorry. And before I get to the rebellion, and he said to her, if you go, so then you're going to be prohibited from me by a force of a neder. Okay. Avra al dato. She goes. So va'alta l'regel v'alifnei Rabbi Yosi, and they go in front of Rabbi Yosi. Amar lo. V'ilo ayisa yodesh ha'averus al datcha va'ola l'regel klimi darta. So Rav Yossi says to this husband, did you consider the possibility that you would violate your ratzon, your will? And he says, Amar lo. So he says, no, I didn't consider that possibility. V'tir Rav Yossi, Rav Yossi says, good. I'm going to, based on that, I'm going to release you from your neder. Because you didn't consider that to be a possibility. You didn't even think that would be a possibility. And had you considered that, so then you wouldn't have made your neder. Okay, good. All right. First of all, let's make an obvious point, and then they'll make a couple of subtle points. First of all, the obvious point. This Pesach only works when it's not your own decision, it's somebody else's decision. Meaning, you can never say as a Pesach, I know I made a neder if I did this or if I did that, and then you could say later on, well, I never thought I would actually do it. In other words, this idea that I didn't consider the possibility that somebody else would transgress my will, that only serves as a Pesach when there's somebody else involved. If it's just you, so then the Pesach wouldn't work. That you cannot make that argument. Okay, that's an obvious point, or maybe not so obvious. There's the Ran, and the Ran over here. And the Ran over here asks a very simple question. What's happening in both of these stories, right? In both of the stories, the wife wants to do something. In the first story with Abai, the wife wants the daughter to marry somebody from her family. In the second story, the wife wants to make aliyah l'regel, and the husband's saying no. And he's making a neder so that that she doesn't do it. Okay.
Was it that he was...
Right, and no, it wasn't a threat of divorce. It was just simply a neder that you're not going to get benefit from me. Okay, the um, What did we learn at the very beginning of this perek? Meaning, we're in the third perek of Nedarim. What was the first thing we learned together? There's something called motivational Nedarim. Motivational Nedarim, if I'm making a neder just to motivate somebody, so that's not a neder. The Mishnah told us that's Nidrei Zruzim. That's simply motivational Nedarim. And that doesn't even need a she'ela. You don't need to go to a Talmud Chacham. For example, what did we learn at the beginning of this perek? Right? You have two people sitting down at the negotiating table. So one says four, and I'm not paying anything less than, I'm not selling for anything less than four. You got to be kidding me. And he makes a neder. And the other one says, no, two. And I'm not giving you more than two, says the buyer to the seller. And he makes a neder. And what did the Mishnah tell us? If we can all agree that three is a fair price, so good, it's going to be sold at three. What about all the nadarm that were made? So we learned in the Mishnah, they weren't nadarm, they were just simply motivational. That's all. And so if it's motivational, so it's not a nadar. Now we also learned earlier in the parak that you shouldn't do it. In other words, people shouldn't talk like that. That's the, we quoted the Ran. The Ran quoted the Tosefta. But okay, but the nadar is not a nadar. And so the Ran over here asks a very good question. Why now, in this scenario, where the husband in both cases was just basically trying to move his wife off a position, right? She wanted the kid to marry somebody from her family. She wanted to be Ola Larego. And he's saying, no, don't do it. It's just motivational, isn't it? So why, and in both cases, we see it's more than motivational, because in both cases, he had to go to a Talmud Chacham in order to be released by the neder. Why is this not a simple case of a motivational neder? That's the Ron's question. Let's see the Ron inside. The Ron is going to suggest an answer. V'im Tomar. Okay, you can find me in the Ron. We're basically, I mean, we're in terms of the Gemara, we're all the way on the bottom of the page, but we're about to start a Mishnah. In the Ron, we're towards the top. In V'atanya Maisa Be'echad. Okay, it's about a third of the way down, even up further up. We're like a quarter of the way down. The bolded word ain, which is at the, or in, it's at the end of the line. So the Ran writes, in va'atanya ma'isa ba'achad, ama afilu ki aigavna paschina. Okay, so the point of the Gemara is that you create a Pesach. The im tamar ma'i matmi mi karo mi shari hache, uma be'zula nidre zeruzin. How is this any different than the motivational neder that we spoke about in the beginning? The Ran says, if you would have asked me, I would have said, not if you would have asked me, but one could suggest, you know, it's muta me'elav. It's just simply released because it's not a neder, it's just motivational. Yesh lamar. So the Ran suggests, the lo dami de nidre zeruzin de masnisan, ein piv velibo shav shamocher velo shalokeach, Shavim shelo olam lo hayadaito shemocher shelo yifchos minasel velo daito shelo kech shelo yosef al hashekel o mishum hachisharu. Because look, says the Ran, in the case of the Mishnah of the buyer and seller, each one digging his heels in the sand, seller saying four, buyer saying two, each one making a neder. Yeah, the words that were coming out of the mouth were no less than four and no more than two. But we know that their heart wasn't there with their words.
True.
Meaning, correct. All it was just a mechanism in which I'm just going to get you to move away from your point. Even as they were saying it, they didn't mean it. That was the idea of ein libo v'piv shava. Their heart and their minds are not, their mouths and their minds are not really connected. Aval zeh, but over here in our case, dato haya lahadira im tavra tano. No, he was for real. Meaning, at the time when he made the neder, he was totally serious. You will not have her marry one of your members of your family. She's going to marry a member of my family. And it wasn't that he was just simply, it was just a mechanism. He literally meant it. Good. It's not motivational. There is a Pesach, which the Gemara goes through, but it's not motivational because libo upiv shaveh. In other words, his mind and his mouth were together at the time when he made the neder. Okay, an important distinction of the Ran between this case over here and the motivational nedarim at the beginning of the parak. Just one other point to go over. There's a lengthy discussion of the Ran at the end. You see a lot of Ran towards the bottom of the page. Just a brief synopsis of what's being discussed over there. He says that when you're mater and neder, there basically are two paths you can go down. You can either get three hedjotos, you can collect three people together, who don't necessarily know the halachas, but have basic common sense. So, and obviously they have to know something. I mean, the Ran doesn't say that, but they obviously have to know something. But in other words, you can go to a Beis Din of three Hejotos, of three people who are not necessarily Talmidei Chachamim, or the Ran says you can go to one Mumcha. You can go to one expert. He brings down a machlokus between the Rambam and the Ramban as to whether this one expert has to have smicha or he does not have to have smicha. Just to present it, the Ramban says he does have to have smicha. The Rambam writes that he doesn't have to have smicha. But in other words, another option is to go to one person and have him release you from that neder. That's
the Ramban. Nobody has.
Huh? Right, correct. So according to the Ramban, then that would mean, correct, that's absolutely correct. According to the Ramban, that would mean that the only way nowadays that you can be released is only with three, not with one. So anyway, that's the discussion that he has on the bottom of the Amud. He also goes on to describe and explain that the same mechanism would be true for Shvuah as well. Okay. Anyway, see the Ran for more of that. In the meantime, however, we're continuing. We're in the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud. Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Af harotze lahadir es chavero. I'm sorry. Let me just back up. One other interesting point I'll make, and then we'll start the next Mishnah. What was the last case that we saw together, where a woman wanted to be ola l'ragel, and the husband said, "No, I don't want you to go. I want you to stay home," and she goes, that neder required a pesach, but the pesach was that he didn't consider the possibility that she wouldn't listen to him. And had you considered that possibility, would you have made the neder? And he said, "No, I wouldn't have made it." And they released him from that neder using that pesach. Okay. What?
Obviously, think that his wife would not listen.
Oh, I mean, he's saying that no, he didn't. I know it's funny, but he didn't consider that possibility. Why? Because he just wanted to show her that he was serious about it. And now, and then, in his mind, once he's serious about it, so of course she's going to listen. I mean, what else is going to happen? And you know, obviously, I mean, we're all smiling because we know what happened. She didn't listen, but that's exactly he didn't consider that possibility, which is exactly the point of the Pesach. Had you considered this, would you have made any? And then he said, "No, I wouldn't have." Who was the one who released the neder? Rav Yossi. When did Rav Yossi live? After the Chorban Beis Hamikdash. And so it just begs the question, and that is, so what are they talking about Aliyah L'Regel? Aliyah L'Regel is the idea that when there's a Beis HaMikdash, and it's Yontif, so we all have a mitzvah to go to Yerushalayim, be seen in Yerushalayim, or for Karbanos, the Gemara in Chagiga, right? It's not that long ago that we were learning the Gemara in Chagiga together. Good. What are they talking about Aliyah L'Regel? It's after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. So does that mean that there's a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel even after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, meaning nowadays? Is there a mitzvah for us to go to Yerushalayim on Shavuos, Sukkos, Pesach? I mean, if there is, that'd be great. I mean, obviously, price is an issue, but if you take a look at the Rush over here writes, I have it highlighted, I thought it was exciting last time we did it. It's just as exciting now. Shayimit kamtzin l'shmo hadrasha. So Aliyah L'Regel, says the Rush, means that the once upon a time after the Chorban Beis Hamikdash, so they didn't go to Yerushalayim, but you know what they did? There was a major drasha taking place. I guess you could call it, and just in terms of an analogy, it's like the Shabbos Hagadol drasha. Meaning that before Pesach, so what happens? The Shabbos before Pesach, so the Rav speaks, and it's a big assembly. So that the Rush says is probably what the Gemara is referring to. Shei mitkapsin lishmo adrasha va'af anashim hayu nahagas mitzvah lavo shama uleros bechvode shal Torah. And women as well, says the Rush, so they would go as well. Why? So I guess encapsulated in the Rush is the implicit question of they don't have a mitzvah to learn Torah. So the Rush says, yeah, that's true. That may be true, but I think the implicit question in the Rush, that may be true, but Kavod Shel Torah, they get to see the honor of Torah. So anytime you have an opportunity to see Kavod Shel Torah, you see hundreds, thousands of people massing in one area in order to see Torah being honored. So that's a big deal. So that's why the women also had the mitzvah, the minug mitzvah of going to this event. And then it only begs the question, why did the husband in that particular story tell his wife not to go? Okay, that's, I guess he had his reasons. Anyway, okay. Now let's start the next Mishnah. I'm sorry. Then we're on the bottom of Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. Rebbe Loz Ben Yaakov Omer Afarotz Lahadir Chaver Sheyochel Atzlo Yomer Lo Kol Nedesh Ani Asid Lidur Hu Batel Vavash Lo Yezacher Vashas Aneder. Okay. Rebbe Loz Ben Yaakov says as follows. You're trying to get your friend to eat over by you. And he's not. And he's refusing. And the Mishnah does not read that smoothly. Just to read the words of the Mishnah, he says, okay, so you're trying to move your friend to eat by you. So Yomar Lo, you say to him, Kol Neder Shani Asid Lidur Hu Batel. So literally the words of the Mishnah mean, you tell him, you basically are going to telegraph the punch. Okay, for those of you who don't understand boxing, meaning you're going to hit him with a neder, but you're going to tell him in advance, you know, even though I'm going to hit you with a neder, you should only know that I'm making a disclaimer beforehand that my neder isn't really valid. Uvavash yezachar b'shas neder. But it's important that you remember that you made the disclaimer while you're making the neder. Okay. So now, again, it falls kind of under the category of motivational, although, as we're about to see in just a moment, it's a real neder. But basically, you're telling the guy before you make the neder, just so you should know, I don't really mean this as a real neder. I'm just trying to get you to eat by me. So the Gemara says, "V'kevin da'amar kol neder shani asid lidor yehibato lo shama lev lo ase behadei." So now the Gemara asks the obvious question: isn't all this seem to be kind of defeating the purpose? Meaning, you're trying to get him to eat by you. Okay, that's your goal, and you're going to sound really tough as you make nedarim. Right, if you don't eat by me, then you're going to be bound by a neder that you're not going to be able to benefit from me, and whatever neder he's going to make. But before he says that, he says, "Oh, just by the way, as a disclaimer, these nedarim aren't real. I don't really mean them. I'm just trying to look tough right now." Well, if you announce it, you're trying to look tough. So then, right, you're not actually going to be tough, and that's exactly the Gemara's question. What's going on in the Mishnah? If you're telling him that you're throwing out a disclaimer before you make the neder, he's not going to listen to you, and he's not going to come to you. To which the Gemara says now in the top of Chav Gimel Amud Beis, Chasur Mechzer V'Hachi Ketani. So obviously within the Mishnah, there is something missing in the Mishnah, and what's that missing piece of the Mishnah? So the Gemara says here's the missing piece of the Mishnah. Let's say your friend, you're trying to get your friend to eat by you. And he's refusing, and he's saying, no. Umadiro nidre zeruzinhu. And you make a neder to try to get him to move, so it's nidre zeruzin. So that's just simply motivational. Meaning, you don't really mean the neder, you're just trying to get him to move from his position. And now, the next part of the Mishnah, there's an introductory clause that's not actually written in the Mishnah, but here's how to understand the second half of the Mishnah. And if you want all your nedarim of the year to be totally discounted, so here's what you do. Yamud Rosh Hashanah, so you stand up on Rosh Hashanah, V'yomar, and you say, Kol neder she'ani asid lidor, any neder that I will make, yehe batel, should be nullified. So you throw out a disclaimer on Rosh Hashanah, saying that everything I say from this point going forward to the year's end will be totally nullified. Uvavachi is a churbishas neder. However, the disclaimer only helps where at some point during the year when you're making neder, you remembered your disclaimer. Okay, period. Now what we have in the Mishnah are really two separate points of the Mishnah. Point number one in the Mishnah is that in the case of where you're trying to get your friend to eat by you, and you're making a neder just so that he can eat by you, that's motivational, that's nidre zeruzin, and that goes back to the beginning of the parak. And it's just motivational. That's point one of the Mishnah. Second point of the Mishnah is that there is a way where you could put a disclaimer, a moda'a, right, you're serving notice for all the nedarim that you make make the entire year. Get up there in Rosh Hashanah, serve notice, that any neder that I make over the course of the year will be batal, and that's it. And now for the rest of the year, you will be immediately released from your neder, not even released. Let's say it's stronger. The neder doesn't even get off the ground because you made a disclaimer at the beginning of the year. All this should sound familiar, and we'll get to that point in just a moment. So, to which the Gemara says, let's understand that last point of the second part of the Mishnah. So you can, this disclaimer only works if you remember. To which the Gemara says, I'm not clear about that point. E zachor akre letane v'kayim le'nidre. Now wait a second, says the Gemara. Let's think about this. You serve notice at the beginning of the year. You're somewhere now in the middle of the year. For whatever reason, you got heated. You're about to make a neder, and now what? It sounds like if you remember that you made a disclaimer, so what does that mean now? It means that you know you made a disclaimer, and despite the fact that you made a disclaimer, I'm making a neder. Isn't that a nullification of your disclaimer? Aren't you essentially saying, yeah, I served notice at the beginning of the year, but you know what? Good. I'm revoking my modah, and here I am now. This neder's for real. Isn't that the result of what's going to happen if you remember your disclaimer? So to which the Gemara gives two approaches. Am Rabbi Tani Uvavat Shelo Yezach B'Shas Neder. So Abai's approach is right, exactly the opposite. If you don't remember your disclaimer, so then the disclaimer actually serves as a way of negating your neder. But if you do remember your disclaimer, and alfa pikein, and even though you remember your disclaimer, not only remembered it, let's go even one step further. You mentioned it. You say, look, beginning of this year, I serve notice that any neder that I make over the year is no good. And right now I'm ready to make a neder. I'm telling you right now, I serve notice at the beginning of the year, cancel the order. This neder is for real. So according to Abaye, your neder would be a valid neder. That is Abaye. Now, by the way, in order to do that, so you're going to have to, edit a little bit of the Mishnah. Meaning the Mishnah says, Uvavad sheyehezachor, according to Abaye, it's Uvavad shelo yehezachor. Okay, so according to Abaye, it needs a little bit of editing. Rava Amar la'olam kedamina mikar. Rava says, no, let's keep it as it is. Hach b'maisin kagon she'isna b'Rosh Hashanah. What's the example that the Mishnah is describing? Where you made the tanai on Rosh Hashanah, v'lo yad b'maisna, v'hasha kanadar, and then you don't remember what the neder was, you don't remember the disclaimer, and now you're making the neder. Izachor b'shasa neder. If you make a comment at the time of your neder, va'amar adas harishona ani neder nidre leis be mamasha. If you say as follows, you know what? What is about to come out of my mouth? Attach that to my original disclaimer. So good. So that means that you're connecting your neder to the original disclaimer, and so then you're good. Meaning, so then you're going to be immediately released from the neder. Or again, to say it better, there's no neder altogether. So lo amar al das rishon ani neder. However, if you don't connect it to your disclaimer, but just the opposite, you say, despite my disclaimer, or you just simply say, I know I made a disclaimer, but, so then, akre letanei v'kaim lenidre. So then what you've done is you've uprooted your neder, and your mekayim, you uprooted your tanai, and your mekayim your neder. Yeah, it's just a question, right? It's just a question of how to fit it into the words of the Mishnah. But I agree with you. Now, Rav Huna Bar Chinna stavra lamidrash bepirkei. Now, Rav Huna Bar Chinna said, you know what? This is great. Can you imagine? There's a way of making a disclaimer for the beginning of the year for the entire year. So, Rav Huna Bar Chinna said, you know what? Let's do it. Let us all at the beginning of the year make some form of disclaimer, and so that way, if in the event that we make a neder at any point during the year, so it's immediately going to be a null based on the disclaimer we made at the beginning of the year. What a wonderful idea! And he thought to publicly broadcast this. Amalei Rava Tanakam Mastem Le Sesume Kedei Shelo Yenagu Kalos Rosh Ben Adarim VaAdar Shelo BePirkei. To which Rava says to him, "We got to slow down, tap the brakes. Look what just happened in our Mishnah." Meaning, did you see any of that in our Mishnah? No. The Mishnah wrote itself very cryptically. Do you know why the Mishnah wrote itself very cryptically? Because Rav Yehuda Anasi, when writing the Mishnah, specifically wanted to write this information in a cryptic fashion so that the Hamon Am, so that the general masses do not know about this and therefore do not practice this. And now you're going to publicly broadcast that this is what we should do? We should make a disclaimer at the beginning of the year for the whole year? Rav says, I don't suggest that. I don't think you should publicly broadcast that. Which, of course, last couple minutes of the daf today brings us to probably the point where you thought we were going. And that is, I'm sure you noticed as a Jewish people that we do have this practice. Where at the beginning of the year, not exactly Rosh Hashanah, but at the beginning of the year, so we do make some form of a disclaimer about all the nedarim that we make for the upcoming year. And that's called nidrei. I did, together with my crack research team, I asked if the Sfardim, before the shir, I asked if my Sfardim say kol nidrei. They do say it. So it's a minhag Yisrael that we say kol nidrei. Now it's a little bit interesting, isn't it?
But you also do have tzarat nidrei before.
Okay, right. Correct. Right now, for now, I'm going to focus on kol nidrei, but you're right. There's another minhag of atars nedarim. But we say kol nidrei. So, to which now it only begs the question. We say kol nidrei. Did you see how the Gemara's reaction was to this idea of broadcasting to the masses of that we should make a disclaimer at the beginning of the year? The Gemara, at least Rava, didn't like the idea. Now the kol nidrei nusach you're not going to find anywhere in the Gemara. That's true with most of tefillah. You know, I'm sure you've noticed most of tefillah is not incorporated, including the Gemara, right? The Siddur, however it developed over the years, so you'll find bits and pieces of it in the Gemara, but you're not going to find it. You're not going to find the Kol Nidre tefillah that we say in the Gemara. The Rishonim, however, tackle it. So let's. There's much to discuss over here on Kol Nidre, just from the perspective of the Rishonim. In the time given, I'm just going to take a look at the Ran together with you. You take a look at the Ran inside. Ul'inyan Halacha. It's about two-thirds of the way down. The bolded word, which is found at the end of the line. Last three words of the line. Ul'inyan Halacha Kaimel and Karaba. Hilkach Natina Dechol She'isna Metchil Kol Neder. Uvishas Nidjor Shachach Tano Nidjor Batal. Aval Hisna Al Davar Miyuchel. Uvishas Nidjor Zocher She'isna Va'ina Yodea Ma Hisna. Kol Shalom Amar Al Das Rishon Ini Yosef. Apishin Hiska Achakach. Shal Oso Davar. Okay, so like Rava says, if you made a disclaimer at the beginning of the year, and then when you made your neder, you specifically you remembered and you did not say al das, you didn't connect your neder to that to the disclaimer, so then you were the neder's in fact. Applied. Sheyazochur ksasa yelul haasnas v'lam eshal das v'shonu hu osik. V'chein pasuk haRambam zal. And the Rambam also rules that way as well. Beperek sheni mehilchos nedarim. Okay. Good. So that in fact is the halacha. So in other words, you can make a disclaimer at the beginning of the year and you either A, have no recollection of your disclaimer, or B, you do remember your disclaimer and you connect your neder to your disclaimer, so then the disclaimer will in fact work for the neder. Venira. Shemash omrim tzas kehilos biyama kipurim kol nidre v'asare. Now, amongst some communities, it's interesting, in the time of the Ran, as he's writing this, it was not minhag Yisrael. It was not the pervasive, ubiquitous minhag of saying kol nidre. He writes that some communities have this minhag of saying kol nidre. So, ledavar zehem is kavnim. Levato nedarim sheidru la'achar mikan. So that was the intent of kol nidre. It serves notice for the upcoming year that any neder that I will make is going to be nullified. But the Ran says, I will say this. And now he's critical of the kol nidre. And when I say critical, I mean in terms of its language. Because if you know grammar, and I'm not the first one to admit that I know it. I know a little bit, but I don't know it. But if you know grammar and you read the Kol Nidre, it sounds like it's talking about the past. It doesn't sound like it's talking about the future. So, and that's not what Kol Nidre is doing. So linguistically, grammatically, the Ran is bothered by the fact that it's going on, it sounds like it's going on in the past, and meanwhile, fundamentally, the Ran says that's not what it is. Kol Nidre is for the upcoming year. So Mikan El Rabbeinu Yaakov Zahayim Esakin HaLashon Kidei Sheyeh Mashmos Ola Haba. Rabbi Yaakov, he's probably here referring to Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam got his hands on the Kol Nidre, and Rabbeinu Tam edited the Kol Nidre Tefillah, so that it sounds like it's not on the past, but rather it's on the future. Lomer Kol Nidre V'Asarei D'Asarna V'Dicharamna Kulo Kamutz. So you put a kamutz underneath in order to indicate that it's for the future, not for the past. Again, if you know grammar, you understood that point, and I can't wait till I get to that. To that point, kedeshi enir lahaba ve'en ray lomer ken kedeshi lo yikalu rosham benadarim. And here the Ran is fascinating. The Ran says, I don't subscribe to Kol Nidre. I don't think it should be said, because then what you just did is you went against the Gemara's conclusion. The Gemara said at the end, I don't think that you should do this to the masses, because then it gives license to the masses to make nadarim, because hey, they made a disclaimer at the beginning of the year. And then furthermore, the Rambam says that this disclaimer only works and helps as it relates to nedarim, not to shvuos. Others disagree. Some say that no, that this disclaimer works for both nedarim and shvuos. And one last point to take into consideration. Even if this disclaimer does work, it only is for self-imposed neder and shvuah. However, this disclaimer does not work if somebody else adjures you, if you have to make a shvuah based on a claim made against you, or if somebody makes a neder against you, obviously this disclaimer doesn't work. Okay, so a number of interesting things that come out from this Ran. Number one, his version of Kol Nidre sounded like it was talking about the past. Rabbeinu Yaakov, Rabbeinu Tam was bothered by that, reworded it or repunctuated it so that it would refer to the future. The Ran was not a proponent of the Kol Nidre. As the Gemara said, it shouldn't be done for the masses. Obviously, his position is not the accepted position, but just it's interesting in of itself. And furthermore, machlokus whether or not this disclaimer works for shvuos as well. Some say yes, some say no. The Rambam's of the opinion that it works for shvuos as well. And finally, the distinction of the disclaimer only working for self-imposed neder shvuah, not for those that were imposed by others. Much more to talk about Kol Nidre, but just skim the surface. At least we got through the Ran.